Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's growing defense capabilities amidst emerging global security challenges. The participants are Lieutenant General Rajiv Chopra, defense analyst, and Tina Jha, journalist.
The Indian Armed Forces have always stood as a symbol of professionalism and patriotism, guarding the nation's sovereignty through every form of security challenge, whether conventional warfare, counter-insurgency, or humanitarian emergencies. Their adaptability and resolve have repeatedly shaped India's strategic confidence. The recent success of Operation Sindoor has been hailed as a defining moment in the country's counter-terror and deterrence strategy, a reminder that India's military remains capable, responsive, and mission-ready. Speaking at the Charakya Defence Dialogue 2025, President and Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces, Draupadi Murmu, noted that the global geopolitical landscape is transforming rapidly, shifting the power centres, technological disruption, and new frontiers like cyber and space are redefining warfare. The President emphasised that India, rooted in the ethos of Vasudev Kutumbakam, has shown that strategic autonomy can go hand in hand with global responsibility. Let's listen in.
It gives me immense pleasure to be amongst you at the third edition of the Chanakya Defence Dialogue. It is good to know that eminent members of the strategic community, academia and industry and the stakeholders will deliberate upon issues that have shaped the security landscape of our nation. The Indian Armed Forces have exemplified professionalism and patriotism in guiding the sovereignty of the India. During every security challenge, whether conventional, counter-insurgency and humanitarian, our forces have displayed remarkable adaptability and resolve. The recent success of Operation Sindoor stands as a defining moment in our counter-terror and deterrence strategy.
The President also highlighted the Army's decade of transformation, which he called a phase of restructuring, doctrinal reorientation and modernization aimed at creating a future-ready, self-reliant force.
I am happy to know that beyond its operational role, the Indian Defence Forces remain a pillar of national development. Apart from strengthening our frontiers, they have also helped in border area development through infrastructure, connectivity, tourism and education. The Army is transforming itself through quantifiable, deliverable under the decade of transformation. It is reforming structures, reorienting doctrines and redefining capabilities to the future ready and mission capable across all domains. These defense reforms will help in making India self-reliant. The Army is investing in youth and human capital. It is instilling patriotism in youth through education, NCC expansion and sports.
So in the backdrop of the global geopolitical landscape fast evolving, we reflect on the big question today on the program. As global threats evolve, what should be India's foremost defense priorities and how must our forces continue to transform in order to stay future ready? We are joined by Lieutenant General Rajiv Chopra, retired. He's a defense expert and he will help us understand better about what India's strategic threats and priorities are in the current times amid the evolving geopolitical landscape. General Chopra, thank you for joining us on the program. Welcome to Akashvani.
Jai Hind, and good to be back with the Akashvani.
So let's begin by asking you, sir, what in your view are India's top three security challenges today amid the evolving geopolitical landscape, and how do you see these challenges having shifted from a decade ago?
India's security challenges are multifaceted and diverse. The first is the external threat from China. As you are well aware, since Galwan, China has been very aggressive and has claiming territory in the Himalayas. And supported by Pakistan, or like we say, it's a fusion war between China and Pakistan. There's a new threat which is emerging. Pakistan also supports the terrorist group, particularly in JNK. Maritime security, as we have extensive sea lines of communication and seaborne trade, therefore, that is again an emerging threat. Very, very important, has been brought out by Home Minister, that the internal threat of terrorism, insurgency and left-wing extremism is also very, very vital. Now, the emerging threats like cyber threats, space-based AI and quantum computing, which are being developed, are also very, very important. Energy security continues to be a major threat. Now, what is more important to develop the institution, modernization of security forces in gathering and sharing, and also the border management? Recently, since the overthrow of Hasina Wajid, the Bangladesh is also evolving as a threat to India. These I consider very, very important threats, which are multifaceted and diverse.
That's right. We will talk about these evolving threats, but also how we are modernizing at a fast pace to keep up with these challenges and address them in time. I'll take you to one of the interventions that the President made at the Chanakya Defense Dialogue. She spoke about a rapidly transforming geopolitical landscape, which are driven by shifting power centers, as well as technological disruption, something that you also stressed upon. In this context, what are the biggest implications of this shift for India's military preparedness? You've already spoken to us about the threats, but in terms of preparedness, what are the biggest implications that you see for the Indian Armed Forces?
The first major, which I consider is important, is to have credible deterrence so that our adversary dare not attack us, whether in cash or kind, whether by terrorism or whether by trying to have territorial gains. Like you're well aware, proxy war by Pakistan and territorial gains by China, and China's forays in the Indian Ocean region are very, very important. To develop this credible deterrence, we need to adapt technology in a big way. That includes AI, robotics, space assets, cyber warfare. So all warfare today is gray zone warfare and also hybrid warfare, which will impact India's enhanced capability to proactively deter any enemy and response to any of their acts. This also needs, what is more important, is self-reliance, or as our Prime Minister calls it, Atmanirbhar Bharat, which is very, very important. And we should be self-reliant, and future-proofing should be there, because our exports closer from various countries, we need to produce in India, either Atmanirbhar Bharat or Make in India, which is very important, which you have seen as either there are delays, imports from other countries, or there's a technology denial regime. Therefore, it is very, very important, firstly, to develop the technology and then to adapt to that technology, both in air, space, land, and also in the sea.
Absolutely. General, you spoke about counter-terror and deterrence strategy. So let me ask you to elaborate a little for our listeners. Operation Sindoor has been called a defining moment for India's counter-terror and deterrence strategy by the President, the Supreme Commander of the Indian Armed Forces. As a veteran, what shifts do you see Operation Sindoor's success signaling about India's response posture? Additionally, do you also see that we have been able to move very, very fast enough in order to integrate the new domains of warfare that you just listed out, which include cyber, space, information? They've taken center stage. How successful has India been in integrating them into our war fighting capabilities?
Biggest lesson learned in Op Sindoor is that is one, the warfare is going to be hybrid and is going to be non-contact warfare, which may be over like Op Sindoor was over without crossing the borders. It was with high-tech weapons, standoff weapons from our own side. So therefore, this is very, very important that these missile systems and drone systems need to be developed. The air power has to be supreme, and we should be able to have gather intelligence. We should have the surveillance systems airborne in the air and ground-based systems so that we can detect, identify the threat, like what we identified the terrorist camps and destroyed them. Therefore, technology is very, very important. I'll quote my Honorable Prime Minister, who has declared of Sudarshan Chakra, or what we are developing is Sudarshan Chakra, that is 3 degrees vigilance all along the border, not only vigilance by radars or the airborne system, but also to respond to these threats in real time, so that the enemy missiles can be destroyed in air and we can destroy their systems on the ground, in the air, and also cause colossal damage what we did to the airfields and to the terrorist camp. That is the kind of regime we need to develop, that we respond in real time and with a very, very heavy hand. In the BrahMos played a very, very important role. Our drone systems played very, very important roles. Then the most important thing is to integrate these systems in a common network, both of the Army, Navy and Air Force, where jointness is the name of the game for future.
I think that's what helped us during Operation Sindoor. And given the gravity of the threat that we have from our regional adversaries, it's important that these technologies are going to be very important for our defense preparedness. But you also spoke about India moving rapidly towards Atmanirbhar Bharat in the area of defense. How do you see indigenous systems like the Tejas, Arjun, the Astra missiles, there are also various UAV programs, how do you see them stacking up against the global benchmarks?
Firstly, what I'm trying to say, in the last 10 or 12 years, we've moved from NEC importer to exporter. We have increased our manufacturing base, not only by the defense PSUs, but we are also bringing in the big players or the civil industry. A number of MSMEs are also playing. What is more important, that now we open our defense systems also to the civil trade, which we are already doing, and we want to do it fast. And the nation has also created a fund called the Technological Development Fund. So we are bringing in Atmanirbhar Bharat and Make in India. And then, like the project you said, though there has been a little reversal in the Dubai air show where one of the Tejas had a crash. But let me tell you, it is on track and we are developing it very fast. The engines we are trying to import from GE. And also we're looking at Japan and Korea to get these engines, the UK. And the day is not very far off that we will have these Tejas Mark 2 or 3. But what we need to go in for is fifth generation aircraft, which China has. And it is also threatening us or showing that it may give it to the Pakistan. Therefore, we need to put our act together, whether by Make in India or Atmanirbhar Bharat, or we need to have collaboration with friendly countries like Japan and Russia. Sukhoi 57 has done wonders. We must look at it. Similarly, coming to Navy, we are becoming a major shipbuilding nation. All these ships which we were earlier importing, now we are building. The aircraft carrier Vikrant is totally indigenous made in India. That is a very, very important thing. We have started developing submarines also with there and the other systems which are very, very important in the naval warfare. Plus, in the army domain, what we are doing, we have had the ATAGS, the artillery guns, ammunition development is there. We are making heavy vehicles. Also, the like we brought out, Arjun tank, though it be a very offensive tank, but it is doing fairly well and we are going ahead. And no, it takes time to absorb the technology which we are doing. What is very important that the small startups are being funded by the government and they're being nurtured, where the day is not very far off that we'll have a number of startups doing very, very well and producing a lot of ammunition and a lot of, especially drones is a big thing which is happening. The surveillance systems are very, very important, which we are doing. And even our DRDO is doing a very, very good job in developing, especially the missile systems and also the radar systems and integrating these networks, which is the name of the game for future warfare.
Absolutely. So you've covered a lot of ground, General, in explaining to us about how we are strengthening the indigenous defense production ecosystem, and the startups, the private players have played an incremental role over the years in doing that. At the same time, we're also expanding global partnerships in defense and strategic areas. It's important that we embrace such shifts. We follow these recommendations coming in from veterans like you in order to secure the future of the country as well as of the citizens. Time allows us to take up only that much, General, on the program. Thank you for joining us with your valuable insights.
Jai Hind.
Jai Hind, sir.
You were listening to a discussion on India's growing defense capabilities amidst emerging global security challenges. The participants were Lieutenant General Rajiv Chopra, defense analyst, and Tina Jha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.